Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Oliver Queen. For 5 years, I was stranded on an island with only one goal. Survive.
Oliver Queen is alive.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish to use the list of names he left me and bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become something else.
People, this is your host, Hisfusa Radio, and welcome to another exciting podcast. Welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast. Tonight, we will continue our conversation about the finale, which aired last night on this May 15th, 2013. We had an hour and a half podcast last night, and tonight we are going to continue our conversation of our favorite show, yes, Arrow! Let's go to the phone lines from area code 239. Welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast.
Matt from Florida. I'm sorry I wasn't on the whole time, Jesus. I got tired by it.
Don't worry. I know it was late on your end.
Yeah, I almost wasn't going to call in tonight. I mean, I'm so excited to go see Star Trek in the Darkness tomorrow, but I'm going to go see it with a friend tomorrow. And I got a friend from Florida. Hopefully, calling in it, and his name's Josh.
Oh, good, good. Hey, by the way, I saw Star Trek last night after the podcast. Amazing. Amazing. Epic.
Wow.
Epic. Seriously.
I can't wait.
If you liked the first one,
the second one tops it.
Yes, this second one
just
tops it.
Is there a scene during the end credits?
No. No, because I stayed all the way to the end.
Tonight, I wish we were having a Man of Steel podcast because I saw a TV spot during Big Bang. I am pumped for it, Jesus.
Oh, yeah,
so,
definitely. We might have a little DC conversation towards the end of this podcast, so don't worry about that. Let's see, from area code 432, who is this? Welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast.
Hey, Joe from Krypton.
Hey, Joe, how's it going, dude?
It's going. Hey, I wanted to tell you guys Well, Matt, really, Star Trek Into Darkness has been getting really good reviews.
Yes,
awesome.
It is so good.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
I'm seeing it tomorrow at 1:30.
I saw it in 3D, and check this out. I saw it in 3D. They had the Man of Steel trailer in 3D. Amazing.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. The conversion on that was just great.
Yeah,
I saw
wow.
the Man of Steel trailer in Iron Man 3. I like seeing the original. With my vision, I can't see it in 3D.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so let's get back on track with Arrow Talk.
Yeah.
We should just call it the DC Talk from now on.
Yeah, for right now.
That way we can mix it up with all the DC conversations. Hey, that's an idea. Maybe a third show, maybe?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we talked all about
it
last night.
I know, right? Just mesh it all into one. That sounds like a lot of fun. All right, we have another caller. Let's see, from area code 201. Welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast.
Hi, it's Lauren from TV Ever After.
Hello, Lauren. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks.
Did you watch last night's Sacrifice?
Yeah, I was really surprised at who died. And one of the people, I really don't believe he's dead.
Well, yeah, last night we were talking about it on our special night, and we were just like, question mark after question mark after question mark. Like, in TV, do people really die? I don't think so.
Not really. Nope.
That's the beauty about television. There's always a little, you forgot, she ran this way. I'm like, what? Or was it you, Joe, that said that the spike through Tommy missed every vital organ?
No, that wasn't me, but that's funny, though.
Oh. Yeah, or was it you, Matt?
No, I think I stopped at that part.
Oh, Dan.
Probably Regina.
It was Dan. No, it was a guy that said that. It was Dan.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, because then I cracked the joke. Maybe it was like the magic bullet, you know, from JFK, you know, going up around,
yeah.
Turning around. All right, we have another caller. Let's see. We have a international caller. Welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is this Pauline?
Yes.
Yes, I remember you. How are you, Pauline?
Yes, I'm fine. Oh,
now, remind me again, where are you calling from? What are you overseas or in the States?
No, I'm overseas right now. I'm in Chile.
In Chile. Okay, wow. Well, you're our first Chilean caller. And I don't know, did they air Sacrifice down there, or did you watch it on the net?
I watch it online. I watch it every week online. Because
cable
is like 3 weeks behind.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're caught up then.
Yeah, thank God for the internet.
Yes, thank God. And then thank God that way you could call in too. This is crazy. Okay,
yeah.
So we have a caller from Chile and from Texas, from Florida. And Lauren, what demographic are you from?
New Jersey.
Oh, that's good. All right, we got the East Coast. We got the Mid-States, I'm on the West Coast, and then we have the Southern Americas down there in Chile. So, Pauline, your thoughts on Sacrifice. What's your first reaction after watching it?
Besides being completely shocked.
Yes, like everybody on Twitter is like, no, Tommy can't die. And I'm like, really,
no.
Are you that upset over Tommy?
I mean, I know he was kind of a jerk lately, but come on.
Yeah.
Survive like that.
Let's dissect this a little. They have to be dead. And I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you why. They know who Oliver is. So in order for Oliver to keep a secret, they have to be dead. They have to be. I don't think there's ever a villain that knows the secret and then still, you know, has it announced.
Yeah,
unless
Ra's al Ghul from Batman's Rogues Gallery knows that.
Well, yeah, you got me there. All right, Joe. I'm going to keep an eye on you. But other than Ra's al Ghul, and of course later on, Oliver does announce that he's the Green Arrow. But at this moment in time, he has not made that decision yet. So in that kind of formula, of course, you know, I think, you know, I could totally be wrong. Watch season two, they're all there. But I think they have to be dead, you know, in order to keep Oliver's secret, a secrecy.
There needs to be more of the villain season two.
Yes, and we did do a little roll call last night on what possible villains might come in season two. Let's go around the room. If you could think of a villain, if you're not too familiar with the DC rogue of villains, that's okay. But they could reappear from the ones from this first season, because if you remember, a lot of the villains in this first season have not been deceased yet. So let's go around the room. Start with Matt from Florida. Who would you like to see in season two as the villain? Or come back or whatever.
I'm trying to think which villains were locked in jail. I mean, I know Adam Hunt died. I know that guy with the box died. That black guy died. The China White. I know she's not done. China White.
She's not
gonna
done.
Come back.
No.
Kelly Hugh. She's gonna come back.
Yes.
And the Huntress is gonna come back.
All right, Matt. I said pick one. So you're going down the list. Who would you like to see come back? Everybody else is like, well, I don't know what else to say. Matt already called them
out. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Matt, out of those that you've mentioned, which one would you want to come back?
The Huntress out of all of them.
Yeah,
sure
I think
back.
She's a fan favorite. Some people either love her or hate her.
I'm shocked she wasn't in the finale, like, trying to get back on the good side and help Oliver's find the other device in the glades, because I was watching the finale again today. Yes. I loved it.
Yes. All right, Joe from Krypton. Which villain would you like to see in this season, upcoming season two?
Coming back or just from
either coming back or a new villain in the DC gallery.
Well, let me think. Well, you know, I read some news a few weeks ago that they, because of the ABC's Marvel Shield, you know,
yes.
it's going kind of, you know, the CW is thinking of making Arrow a little more like, what do you want to call it, like superpowered. They're going to actually throw like some superpowered people in there. So maybe somebody from Superman's Rogues Gallery or even Batman or something like that. I think it'd be cool if they mixed it up with different villains that weren't necessarily Arrow's, Green Arrow's villains.
Now,
and I'm not really sure.
Joe, you touched on something here. Correct me if I'm wrong, and Lauren, you too, since you're into writing articles.
Yeah.
Didn't we read earlier that the creators didn't want superpowers, and then now they're changing their minds?
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, I mean, they don't.
Yes.
They're not sticking
sort of
to their
thing.
Guns, huh?
Trying to do like the Nolan-esque,
thing
to the show, like
real
that,
world.
Like, yeah, and you know,
yeah.
And so far we had like, Vertigo, which was not really a. He didn't really have his powers, but the drug was his powers.
Yeah, that was the influence, yeah. And because the big, after they mentioned that they didn't want, you know, superpowers, they wanted more realistic, like Lauren mentioned, they wanted more of a Nolan type of world.
Yeah.
So, of course, the fans were like, well, what's going to happen to Black Canary? That means she doesn't have her special power, because without a special power, she's just pretty much screaming, and they're going to lock her up if she's just screaming. But I guess they, who knows, maybe they didn't think that far out, or maybe they're out of ideas now that they have to bring in supernatural, you know, powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a little contradiction there. It would be funny if the creators of Smallville, you know how their rule was, no tights, no flights, no.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that would be funny if, like, the next season, oh, you guys are going to see him fly. I'm like, well, wait, what happened? What happened here?
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I'm sure it's for the better, of course.
Yeah.
Let's go around the room. Let's ask some people. Do you want to see superpowers or keep it all natural? Let's start with you, Pauline. Do you want to see people with superpowers next season?
That would be interesting. I don't know a lot about comic books because I don't actually read comic books. But
right. But you like the type of sci-fi?
Yeah. I think it will be different. No, because
okay. Yeah, it will definitely make the show a little different.
Yeah, because Oliver doesn't have to do that.
Yeah. I know. All right, let's go to Lauren. Lauren, what do you think? Should Arrow have some superpowers?
I'm a bit torn. I think what they've done so far is, you know, it works for the show, and I'm just getting used to it. And you know, but the guys are comic book fans, and I get the. You know, they are trying to have, like, a grounded, realistic approach to the show, but they're, you know, but keeping it faithful to the source material, I assume. You know,
yes.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a bit torn, maybe, or maybe not. But so far what they're doing is working for me. So, I mean, I'm not too familiar with, you know, Green Arrow before the show. And, well, you know.
If they start off a little subtle, that would be kind of a nice, easy transition. But if they come out with, like, hi, I'm Booster Gold, and I come from the 23rd century, I'm like, wait a minute. And there was rumor of Booster Gold, and, of course, there's that other green rumor, the Green Lantern. So it looks like they're coming either way. Let's go to Joe from Krypton.
Was mentioned, so.
I know. All right, Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you know, the creative team that works with WB or whatever, CW from DC Comics, those guys are pretty smart, and they know that this fall, their biggest competition within, you know, television is going to be Marvel's
Agents.
Yeah, so that's a little more, you know, it's super-powered, so I think if they want to keep up with Marvel, they're going to have to do something like that where they bring in superpowered people. So, yeah, most definitely, I think they should take that route. I mean, maybe not heavily, heavily superpowered, but, you know, every other
episode. Just subtle, yeah.
Some kind of, yeah, I think it'd be really, really great like that.
Yeah, I think we're all agreeing with you, Joe. Let's go to Matt from Florida. Should they keep it null and realistic or go into the little supernatural?
They should give them powers, but the only thing I am dying to see in season two is Laurel becoming Black Canary. That needs
I know.
To happen in season two.
I'm afraid that that might be our Clark Kent waiting to be Superman. I think they're going to try to milk that as much as possible. I don't know. I just have this feeling. Since Matt brought it up, let's go to you guys. Should Black Canary make her first appearance in season two, or should we wait just a little bit longer? Lauren, are you aware of Black Canary?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we saw a hint of Black Canary when Laurel beat up that club Dyer.
I chuckled because I thought you were going to mention the picture of her sister, how her dad used to call her Black Canary, you know, the little, her twin sister.
No.
Well, yeah, there was a subtle.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because, you know, the glades are now destroyed and she's affected by, you know, what happened.
Oh, by being crushed, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Joe from Krypton, should we wait on Black Canary one more season, or just give us some Black Canary in season two?
I think it would be really awesome to see her, like, in the season two finale, kind of transitioning
yes.
into Black Canary and
see that I like.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that'd be really great.
I would like to see that, definitely. Matt from Florida.
Yeah. Yep. I want to see Black Canary in the season two finale because they need to continue building up in season two. And I want more flashbacks on the island as well.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Yes. For those of you who weren't listening last night, I kind of cracked a joke. Wouldn't it be funny if the creators had us watch flashbacks on the island for the next 5 years? We already watched 1 year. Why not 4 more years? That way it gives a sense that we were on the island too for 5 years.
Yeah, I remember that.
That would be funny. Let's see. Pauline, are you aware of Black Canary?
I heard something about it. I'm not.
Yeah, well,
is
Black
Laurel?
Canary is pretty much... how should we compare
Laurel?
Black Canary? Batman's Catwoman?
No,
I guess not, because
really.
That's Huntress. Yeah, that's Huntress.
Huntress.
Lois Lane to Superman?
No.
But Lois Lane doesn't have powers. Wonder Woman to Superman. How's that? That's the closest I can get. Yeah. All right. So now we're going to do another recap of Sacrifice. So right now, if you guys could think of your favorite scene that you watched, probably pretty much if you've already seen it twice, it's the scene you always look forward to. And I got to give you mine, seriously, while you guys think of yours. My favorite scene was I watched it again tonight, was the scene between Tommy and Oliver. I think it was you, Joe, that mentioned that scene was pretty dramatic and pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And watching
yeah.
it again, it was really good. Like the acting,
yeah.
the writing, the music, the way they cut it together, it all just fell together. Yeah, and you just saw how sincere Steve and Emil just gave his heart out to that scene, and Tommy too. I mean, for a split second, I felt bad for him. I'm like, wow, he's really had it rough, you know, like his girlfriend
yeah.
never really loved him. His friend kind of, you know, I mean, not betrayed him, but didn't fill him on the secret early enough. Him finding out that his dad was this big mastermind to level the glades. His dad playing the last recording of his dying mother. I mean, wow, it's just like one after another.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was my favorite scene, and I got to say that it was a great job, well done to both actors. And I guess we'll never say never for Tommy. He could still be alive. We don't know. They might clone him. All right, let's go to Matt from Florida. Give us your recap of your favorite scene from Sacrifice.
The fight scene between Arrow and the Hood, where they're fighting each other, and then Diggle helped them out, and then he catches the arrow. He was smart to put, like, a special explosive arrow at him. And then Oliver almost shot himself, and it looked like he's dead.
Yeah. It looks like it. I like how you say that. It looks like he's dead.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pauline. Pauline, give us your favorite scene.
My favorite scene is the last scene with Tommy and Oliver.
Yes. And tell us why, Pauline.
I'm going to go way back on a personal matter here.
Okay.
The whole earthquake scene. A couple of years ago, we had a big earthquake here in Chile, 9.8, and it kind of brought me back to that moment. So when
I saw
Oliver and Tommy, it was like bringing a lot of memories back. And
I
actually
cried
when I watched it. I watched it last night, and I cried. I watched it again tonight, and I cried again. But it was a very powerful scene. You can see two friends saying goodbye, and it's something that can happen to anyone. So that was my favorite scene. It was very dramatic. You know, when I was watching it, and the building was collapsing, I was screaming at the computer, Tommy's there, Tommy's there.
I know.
Tommy,
I know.
And I thought, Oliver, Tommy's there. You're going to say, Oliver, hurry up. But besides the whole fight scenes and the whole episode, that was my favorite scene, the one at the end.
All right, yes. Wow, thank you for sharing that, Pauline. I know it's really personal, and it's great to hear that perspective. You know, as people watch a show, they bring in their own emotions, and sometimes certain scenes bring up those different events in your life, and that's where you become a little bit more attached to it. So thank you so much, Pauline.
You're so welcome.
All right, let's go to Joe from Krypton. Your favorite scene, sir?
Oh, first of all, I'd like to say my heart goes out to you, Pauline, and God bless you. That's pretty. I'm gonna
have to
agree with no problem. I'm gonna have to agree with you, Jesus and Pauline. That you know, I mentioned that last night. That scene between Tommy and Oliver was just so intense. It had me in tears. I was crying watching it, especially when Oliver screams out, "Tommy, open your eyes!" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that really
the worst."
The tears were really rolling down at that point. That has to be my favorite scene of the finale.
All right, cool. All right, and Lauren, give us your favorite scene of last night's episode, Sacrifice.
It's the fight between Arrow and the Dark Archer, especially when he fired the arrow at Malcolm and then it exploded, so that was one of the trick arrows.
Right, because if you recall, he's done that before. He's caught Green Arrow's arrow, right in the front of his face. But Oliver, of course, he learns his mistake, like, okay, I'm assuming he'll catch it next time, so let me put a little bomb or a little, you know, firecracker on it. Who was that?
Yes.
Was that you, Matt?
Yeah, you're funny when you said firecracker on it.
Put a firecracker on it, I know. It's like Wile E. Coyote. He's like with a match. And all right, so we did talk about the special effects of last night's episode. They pretty much saved their money for this finale. I totally bought that the glades are flattened or, you know, buildings have crumbled, especially with the one that fell on top of Tommy, and also some of the earthquake scenes with the riots and the people running back and forth. That city just looked chaotic. And I just want to give you big applause to the production design and also the director for making it feel like a chaotic ground zero for disaster. And any scenes, I want to go to you guys, any scenes like that stood out, like, wow, that was pretty cool. Another one that comes to mind, I'm not going to say it, I'm going to wait to see if anyone else mentions that, but that was my scene. We're talking about special effects. What visual effects did you like in the finale? There was a couple of them that did stand out. Let's go to Lauren. Lauren, let's start with you. Did you see anything out of the ordinary that might have been like, wow, that's pretty cool that they were able to execute?
Yeah, well, there's two, actually. The level
okay.
was blazed, and it was pretty
yes.
epic. And then also the island flashback, like the explosion. And
yes.
I was reading earlier today that the explosion was real, like when they did it, and then the missile going into Paris was a bit, you know, was CGI.
Yes,
but it was,
of course.
You know, the way they did it was, like, seamless and stuff, so I didn't really...
It was. It was really...
Yeah.
It was a great scene where the rocket launcher launched the missile, and you can see it heading towards the airliner, the Ferris airliner, and then it drops when Oliver switches the motherboard or, you know, tampers with it, and then falls straight down onto the camp. And I did crack a joke last night where now Yao Fei is extra crispy because of that explosion, because if you recall, he was on the floor. So, yeah, there's a little barbecue on the island. Let's go to you, Matt from Florida. Which visual effects stood out for you?
Where the glaze was being buffled, and at the end, where we saw all the glaze and buildings crumbling down. That was
really cool. I mean, you bought
awesome.
It, right? That it was flattened.
Yeah. It reminded me of The Dark Knight, where the Joker was blowing
the hospital.
Yeah, that scene was crazy. But what they did on Arrow last night, amazing.
How funny how you reference a Batman movie. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pauline. Pauline, which visual effects stood out for you while you were watching Sacrifice?
I have to pick the scenes where the glaze is collapsing and the buildings are toppling down. That was
mm-hmm.
pretty cool. And the
that was
explosion
cool.
in the island flashback. Those were pretty cool, too.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty big,
yeah.
big explosion there. And Joe from Krypton?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit of a disappointment, because I'm on the same page with Matt and Pauline. That was pretty awesome. I mean, it wasn't awesome that it was happening, but the destruction of the glaze was pretty. You know, the look on Diggle and Oliver was just crazy.
Yes, yes, definitely. Now, Roy Harper. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was expecting a little bit more with Roy. I'm not saying that he should have donned the red hood or, you know, become the character he will be eventually, hopefully, unless the writers rewrite history. And we are aware that the CW tends to rewrite some DC history, so we just never know what we're going to get with the DC writer, with the CW writers. But I was a little disappointed that at least they didn't have Roy meet the vigilante, like, face-to-face. Like, I don't know. I guess I was looking for some little cliffhanger, little sign of hope that Roy has finally made his journey, his search for the vigilante, some resolution or some climactic hold or presence. I don't know. Roy did rise to the occasion. I'm not knocking that part down, where he was helping the people stuck in the bus as the people were trying to leave the glades. I'm not putting that part down, but I wanted more of maybe Roy and the vigilante. So I don't know why, but I just wanted to see more. Now, let's go around the room. What expectations did you have, and were they executed in last night's episode? Or did they leave you cliffhanging, wanting more of something else or of some story plot point that they didn't resolve? Let's go to Lauren. I know you're going to write some stuff later this week. What were you expecting that...
For some reason, I really do like the island flashbacks, but I was I was a bit, I thought there'd be like a little scene or something towards the end, or like they left it a little unresolved, so, or maybe that was the purpose of it, but I don't know. I think that was pretty much the expectation I was having.
Yeah, especially now that we know that Yafei's out of the picture. We
yeah.
didn't see that coming either, and, you know, the week before episode.
Yeah.
All right, great. Thank you, Lauren. Let's go to Joe from Krypton. Any expectations you have that weren't executed in last night's episode?
Yeah, I'll probably
and
be
tell
the
us
only
why.
One saying. I'll probably be the only one saying this, but I thought Oliver was going to reveal himself as the vigilante to his mom and to Laurel.
Ooh.
I don't know why I thought that. I just had a feeling it was going to happen, and it didn't, and I was a little upset by it. Because I feel like if he did, I think they would be. I mean, I know he already has Diggle and Felicity helping him out, but I feel like having his family on his side, knowing that he is who you know what he's doing, it would just be a huge benefit to him. You know, for you know them backing him, being behind him, and what he's doing and what he's fighting for.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think the reason maybe not. Right now was, I think the whole point of Myra giving up like what she's done is to protect her family. Now, if Oliver came out and say, I'm the vigilante, don't you think all those mob bosses and gangsters would go after his family?
if his mother knew?
No. If he announced himself right after Myra had the press conference that he was
the
vigilante.
I wasn't saying announcing it to the world, just to his mother and to Laurel.
Oh, just to his mother. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Matt from Florida. Were you expecting something that they didn't deliver last night, Matt?
Well, at the bomb area where Detective Lance was talking to Laurel on the phone, thinking, I don't think I'm going to make it out. I said to myself,
right.
Oh, my God, he's going to die.
Yeah. I had that moment, too, Matt.
Yep. And then what happened? Did Felicity get out of the cave? Because it looked like the bomb was about to destroy the cave.
Right. All we saw was Felicity at the desk, which we talked about last night on. Why didn't she just get up and walk out?
Yeah,
for some reason,
like she
had
died.
Yeah, she had to stay there, and I guess at the last minute, maybe the writers or the people filming, they're like, let's just make it a little bit more dramatic so to let the people think maybe she's going to die in the rubble. But that was a little awkward how she just stayed sitting there at the cave.
But it
all
was
right,
a great,
great
episode.
It was.
It was a great episode altogether to end season one. I was on my mom and I were on the edge of our seats. She left.
Oh, yes. Me too, man. Me too. Pauline, did you have any expectations that were not met in last night's episode?
I think I'm going to agree with Lauren on this one. I think the whole island flashback was like, I needed something else. It was so, like, I don't know, Oliver shot fires and fire is dead and everything is destroyed and
that was it.
Like,
and they're like, I'm hungry. Let's go hunt some food. Okay. Let's go. Yes.
I know.
All right, so let's open the forum now. Now let's go to the people on the phones. And if you're listening right now on the podcast, please feel free to call in. Our number is 914-338-1036. We are talking about the Arrow season finale of Sacrifice. Pretty good conversations. I'm learning a lot from you guys, so that's really good to hear. And I hope people listening are also enjoying our conversation, and they could also join us. That number again is 914-338-1036. All right, so let's open the forum right now. It's a great opportunity for you, the listeners, the fans. to tell us what's on your mind, what stood out, or if you still have any questions of certain of a certain scene. Are you not aware of what might have happened here and there? Now is the time. Let's go to Joe from Krypton. The floor is yours, sir. Anything Arrow, Green Arrow related?
I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. Maybe come back to me here in a second.
All right, you got it. All right, let's go to Lauren. Lauren.
Well, actually, I think you addressed a question earlier, but you didn't ask this.
Okay.
Something about who what villain I'd like to see, like,
return, yes,
or come in season two. I think I'd probably, well, since he's a regular next year, maybe Slade Wilson as Deathstroke. And then also, like, Deadshot,
yeah,
too, because he's also still alive, I think, right?
He's still alive, yes.
Yeah.
And then you never know. The Count might rehab himself.
Yeah.
Even though he's, like, comatose with vertigo. You never know. He might just be, like, especially if they're going to go with the supernatural powers. Maybe his body, if you remember, he survived the overdose, so obviously,
yeah,
his body is immune to vertigo. Imagine,
yeah,
if that vertigo starts to mutate him and he becomes this, like, big vertigo count monster. That would be awesome. All right, I'm overdoing it now. All right, let's see. Let's go to Pauline. Pauline, the floor is yours. Anything you wanted to ask or talk about regarding Arrow or Green Arrow?
I'm not really sure. I'm gonna say something that I wanted to say before. You asked who we wanted to see back next season.
Yeah.
I think the whole Deagle Deadshot scenario, it's not finished. So
no,
maybe we can see something like that next season. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and don't we want to see a little bit more of Deagle with his lady friend? Whatever happened to her?
Yeah.
She died.
Anna, that's the kid.
She died, I think.
Wait, she died?
No,
yeah.
No, she didn't die.
Did she?
No.
Died.
I don't think she died, Matt.
I think she just got shot.
How did she die?
You know, wasn't she that FBI agent?
Yeah, Argus.
No.
Huh?
No, I think she died. She got shot.
No, she's not dead. She just got shot or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, it's all right, Matt. You know, that's why we're talking, because, I don't want to recall her dying.
Yeah.
Because that means, and then the only reason why I say that is because I'm trying to think, was Diggle ever mad or upset or mourning? And that never happened either, so I'm trying to put the two together, yeah. All right, great. Yeah, so Diggle's lady friend. Wherever she's at.
I think I know who Matt's talking about.
Who?
I think Matt's talking about Diggle's FBI agent friend. But
oh, yes.
Diggle's girl is the one that works in the restaurant, right?
Okay, no. Matt, we were talking about the diner. Remember his brother's ex-wife or girlfriend?
Yeah, and he has Matthew. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to see
now, the agent that you're talking about, yeah, she's dead, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I brought up.
So you were right.
Focus there. I kind of laughed.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the other lady friend. I know Diggle has a lot. I know Diggle has a lot of lady friends, but.
Yeah.
And, all right, so let's see. Pauline, are you done? Are you any villain? Did I ask you about any villains that you would like to see come back?
I just mentioned Deadshot.
Deadshot, yeah.
That,
you want to see more of that?
You know, guys, I'm gonna have to leave you right now because.
Of course, of course.
Far,
well, thank you for calling, Pauline.
As far as I can go. So
yes.
Nice talking to you. I'm going to keep listening. And maybe I'll talk to you again when season two begins in when? October? When is that?
Yeah, probably like mid-October. Yeah, that looks like the starting date.
Yeah. So long.
So long, I know. But we'll see you on Twitter.
Huh? Okay, guys.
Okay, thank you, Pauline, for
nice
calling in.
Good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, now if we could really nitpick, I know it's really hard, but this is going to be for you guys. If we could really nitpick, what scene did not work in the finale? Let's think about it. Everything cannot be just a perfect rose. You know, there was a thorn here and there. I kind of mentioned it last night when we talked about the scene where Oliver is coming out of the room in his mansion, and then we see Laurel say, like, oh, you left when I woke up. And I'm like, really? Really? We're going to go through this right now? Merlin is out there. The machine is out there. He just confronted his mom. Really? So, yeah, that was my scene that I think we could have maybe hold off or just press delete on that editing software. But, yeah, that kind of stood out for me. So let's go to Joe from Krypton. If you were the editor in last night's episode and you had to cut out one thing, you were required by law to cut out one thing in order to keep your job, what scene would you have cut out?
I guess it would be that scene you were talking about, but really what bothers me about it is really, I guess it's just a nitpick of the character as a whole. I mentioned this last night. I don't like the way she jumps from guy to guy as soon as somebody saves her or gives her the slightest bit of affection, you know? I just wish her character would stick to one person. I mean, I'm not calling her any bad names. I don't like the way they're using her character that way. It just rubs me the wrong way for some reasons.
And I agree. For some reason, it doesn't just mesh with her. Like, it's like when you see her and you see the words coming out of her mouth, I'm like, that doesn't fit that character.
Yeah.
Because isn't she supposed to be like this up-and-coming lawyer, defense, you know, lawyer practically working for free? And, you know, at that point, you're pretty a little, and she's working in the Glades, so she's a little rough, you know. She's a little tougher than your normal
Lana Lang. Fam.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, she's the polar opposite.
Yeah.
I agree with that. All right, thank you, Joe. Let's go to Lauren. Lauren, if you were the editor and you were required to keep your job, you have to cut out one scene. And don't see the commercials.
Maybe that one, but then I really like the shot between, out behind Oliver and Laurel with the illuminating sunlight, but I think maybe...
With the sun, and I know, we were talking about that shot specifically, and I'm like, if they only would have played the Dawson's Creek song as they kissed and the sun came up. Do you guys remember the Dawson's Creek song?
I guess that thing was too emo or something. I don't know. But I think maybe if I had a cut one, it was maybe like Roy and Sia, like when they kiss. I don't know. It seemed really cheesy now that I think about it.
The sparks.
Like, well, you know, while all the chaos is going on around them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, Thea's starting to annoy me, and I'm just still giving her a chance. I'm like, okay, lady, I'm going to give you one more chance. Just don't annoy me. And especially when Myra announced that the Glades were going to be flattened, Thea was only concerned about Roy. Roy lives in the Glades. And then Myra should have just, I'm sorry, I'm not for violence, but she should have just smacked her and say, hello, I'm going to jail. I just announced I was part of this big master plan, and you're worried about this punk kid?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's. I don't know. For some reason, Thea better switch it up a notch in next season. I don't know. She was growing on me, but then I think I liked her when she was more like a Lindsay Lohan character. Now she just complains. Now she just complains about everything, and you know she's after Roy and telling him what to do, what not to do. I'm like, who are you? You're Lindsay Lohan in character.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. You're the editor, and we're down to the wire. We need a scene cut out. What scene would you cut out?
I agree with you. The scene with Oliver and Laurel, like, I hate the dumb song crap in certain episodes. Even on Smallville, I hated all that crap with the music and all that. But
and the sun setting and the clouds.
Yeah.
You missed all that.
Yeah. But I mean, come on. Let's get to the action. Let's get to taking down Merlin. They could add a lot more action instead of the Dove, Oliver, and Laurel crap. I don't like Laurel that much. She's pretty,
yeah.
But not. And I agree with you. I don't like Thea at all. She's kind of getting off there. I mean, come on. I wanted her mom to slap her and say, I'm going to jail. I'll be gone for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I don't care about your punk friend.
Yeah. Hello, you will not have a mother nearby you anymore.
Yeah.
All right, so do you think Walter might come back next season now that Myra's out of the picture? Do you think Walter might come back and think, you know, kind of feel guilty and say, oh, wow, their mom is now in jail. I got to come back and help them out. Let's go around the room. Joe from Krypton, do you think Walter might step back in and be the father role?
Yeah, I definitely think he was watching, even though they didn't show it. Or did they show him watching the...
No, he definitely was not.
I think he was probably watching it, and he's gonna try to step in and help them out as a family. Because he was
I think Walter... I think they should have shown Walter, like, in Las Vegas, like, having a good time. Like, I've been stuck in the jail cell for 6 months. Now I'm in,
yeah.
I'm reliving Hangover. Can you imagine? He's, like, with Mike Tyson and his tigers and or something, just going crazy.
Yeah.
All right, that's just me. I'm sorry. Let's see, Lauren, do you think we might see Mr. Walter in season two?
I think he might come back. I mean, there's possibility. I think I know why Colin wasn't there, because he was, like, in some reality show, I think, or something.
Yeah. Was it, like, The Apprentice, or?
I think it was, like, the Dancing with the Stars in the UK.
Oh, yes, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in other words,
he's tiptoeing somewhere else.
Yeah, so I think I could see them, you know, having Walter back. I mean, they didn't, I don't remember them killing them off. He just, like,
just served her papers, yeah.
Yeah, so.
He's like, listen, you psycho B-I-T-C-H, I'm leaving this house now that I'm free. Matt from Florida, do you think Walter might come back next season?
I hope so, because he's going to have to help Thea through this, that you're mom's in jail.
I know. Now that there's no adult, she's going to be like some crackhead with
mean,
Roy Harper.
With their mom in jail, who's going to take care of the Queen Manor? Is it going to get shut down? Because she's going to probably lose all that cash they have.
Yeah.
Fun.
Wouldn't it be funny if they had a Lex Corp takeover of the mansion and all that? I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense now that, that's Lex's mansion.
Because, yeah,
you know, business buy each other out, so why not? Why not have Lex Corp buy out Queen Industries or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, and I have to say, this is so awesome. We're back-to-back because I hate waiting every week for the podcast.
Yeah,
I love
me too.
We have it back-to-back for Arrow, but starting next Thursday, it'll be back on Smallville Talk towards the movie.
Oh, yeah, we will, yes. Lauren, are you a Man of Steel fan?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Superman movie, right?
Yeah, yes, that is the Superman movie.
it's good so far, and I think I like it better than Superman Returns. So.
Oh, yeah.
We're all in agreement with you.
Yeah.
We have a winner. All right, so let's see. There are talks. I've just read an article. If you go to LA Times or if you go to herocomplex.com, that's LA Times version of their geek news and updated information on movies and stuff like that. They had an article, Amazon, it's still on track, but they're still developing.
Yeah,
they're waiting on
that.
A new script. Yes. And I guess now, Joe, you mentioned it. DC's on the fast track now. Now they're trying to compete with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And that looked amazing. That trailer looked so much fun.
It does.
It's
right. Lauren,
because...
I know I know you work on a website that tracks TV shows. Are you guys tracking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And if you do you know any news?
I think one of the editors might be interested in doing it. I don't know if I can.
How many shows do you cover, Lauren?
But I'm definitely interested in checking it out because I'm wondering how Agent Coulson comes back to life.
That's the big question. They better not say, we gave him Hulk blood or something in order to regenerate her.
I know.
Yes, so even though that's a Marvel show, we still love superheroes, so of course we might occasionally talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Lauren, what other shows do you cover, Lauren?
Other shows that we have now, you can check it out at TVEverAfter.com is, the other show I cover is called The Americans. The Cold War.
Oh, yes, with Felicity. What's her name?
Yes. Russell.
I know only know her as Felicity.
Emily Blunt Richards.
Yeah.
No, not her. The other one. Matt. I didn't think you were going to say that, Matt. What's her name? I'm sorry. Russell.
No, that's okay. Yeah, the Cold War FX spy drama. Like, if you were like me, who grew up in the 1980s, and you know, were aware of the Cold War, then I highly, highly recommend that. Or, you know, if you like spy drama in general. We also cover, I think, Revolution.
Is that getting better?
Walking Dead. I think someone's going to cover Under the Dome, the Stephen King thing that's going to be on CBS this summer.
Right.
And, oh, my God, I think there's, like, 15 shows I jumped on.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, do you guys cover that?
What is it?
Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think we cover Awkward, I think, that someone on TV.
Matt, they're exhausted. All they watch is TV over there.
Oh, cool. I do that.
So, Lauren, you have to admit, how many DVRs do you have in your house? And are they all full?
Lucky for me with the Americans, they have an encore at, right after their first airing.
Yes.
At 11 o'clock.
Yeah, they always do that back-to-back.
Yeah, so I catch the encore. Yeah, so that was, so I'm lucky with that. And, they always, and I don't know about, with Arrow, it's just, you just have to watch it carefully, I guess.
Right.
So,
now, with the season over, are you guys going to purchase the DVDs? I pretty much have them all on my DVR. Let's go to you, Joe, from Krypton. Are you going to buy the season one DVD looking for any Easter eggs on those discs?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I really will be. I can't wait till it comes out. It'll probably come out in September, right?
Right. I would assume close to the premiere date as they try to push, the new premiere.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely I'll be picking that up, for sure.
All right, Matt from Florida, are you picking yours up, or are you pretty good with your DVRs?
No, I'm getting it up. I do have them, a few of them, in my DVR, but I'm asking for a Best Buy gift card on my birthday this year, and I'll be waiting for that to come out. I'm getting it.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
That's
great. I love their
art. All right, and Lauren, are you a collector?
Yeah, somewhat. I collected, Smallville. I have all seasons. I don't know if I have all of Supernatural, but I think I'm hoping Arrow has a lot of, features and, deleted scenes.
Yes.
That's
the fun part, is having the extra features.
Yes.
With that? Yeah. So.
But I'm hoping soon it could be added to Netflix before it even comes out on DVD.
Oh, more than likely it will.
Actually, someone on Twitter is saying, DVD, 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 I so want it. That's from the handler Polyrock on Twitter. They just tweeted that they want the DVD. We're not giving out the DVD, sorry, if you're listening. We're just talking about it. Or maybe not yet. I just have to announce, I'm going to ruffle up my feathers here. Last night, right before the finale aired, when I say we, I mean the Arrow Talk Twitter account, got followed by the Arrow writers on their Twitter. So I was like, really super stoked. I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow, they're listening. They could be listening.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping, you know, I even told them, I'm like, it would be really cool if one of you guys could call in.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what would be even cooler? If they're all listening, right, and they actually used one of our ideas about the superpowers.
Yeah, you just never know. Seriously,
yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah.
So that was my cool little, like, present for the finale. I'm like, yes! That writers are following. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool, man.
All right. I just needed to brag a little. I'm sure they'll follow everybody after that. They're like, you're not special.
I'm sure you felt the way I did whenever Aaron Ashmore is actually following me on Twitter. I thought that was really
cool. Oh, that's
really
great.
Cool. Yeah, really
cool.
Wow,
look at you.
I know, all right?
All right. Anybody could top that?
That and, hey, dude.
Lauren, can you top that?
Well, I had Mark Guggenheim retweet something.
There you go.
Oh,
there
very
you go.
Cool.
And Andrew Pressburg, I think he's surprised.
All right, Lauren. All right, we get it. I'm kidding. Matt, you were going to say something?
Yeah, speaking of Aaron Ashmore, did you guys ever start watching that show, The Following, on Fox? Sean Ashmore was in that show.
Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, I've seen that, but it's not like, oh, it's okay, I guess, but.
Well, yeah, I don't watch it. My mom watches it. Like, she told me that she got Sean Ashmore on there. That they almost know
that
twin. But I'm just so hyped up for Man of Steel. I can't believe it is almost here. I'm just going crazy in my mind and how the whole movie's going to be. I mean, I just get chills every time I see it on the big screen, because I went and saw Iron Man 3 again last weekend and saw it again on the big screen with my family, and oh my God, I'm just so, I'm just ready to see it, like, right now.
Yeah.
But
yes.
In a way, I was very disappointed in Iron Man 3, but I think Star Trek and Man of Steel is going to nail it. Maybe,
you know, it
Man
seems like that's a pattern for Marvel movies. When they hit the third one, they just go blah. If you guys recall the Spider-Man movies, I think the second one was my favorite. You know, the Tobey Maguire version. But once they hit number three, it's like, what? What's going on?
Yeah, three was terrible.
Yes. I apologize to Pauline. It was her that was saying DVD, DVD, I still want it. She just tweeted me again saying, hey, it's me. I just talked to you guys. Hello. Sorry, Pauline. I didn't see your name on the Twitter. So, Mary Beth, she wants to tell us that she was unable to make it. She had a really bad day today. She tried to get her car battery jumped at work in order to drive home and call in, but she got stopped for a traffic ticket. Oh, Mary Beth.
Oh,
well, sorry to hear
Mary
that.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Everybody say hi to Mary Beth. I'm sure she's
Mary
listening.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary.
Sorry.
All right. Oh, she had a really bad day. So hopefully next time when we have our podcast, you could call in. Also, Regina, she wants to know, what is your favorite five episodes from this Arrow season? I hope you guys thought of it.
Ready.
Okay, so you guys are ready. Lauren, you still have some time to go on IMDb.
I got mine ready.
I have to think about this. I'm number one.
Let's go to the professionals. Let's go to Matt and Joe. Let's start with you, Joe.
Mine is going to be, actually I have six, but it's only five, so I'm only going
to
name
five. Yeah, only five. I know you guys can't stick to the rules here.
Yeah. Okay, mine's going to be, and they're not in any particular order, but I'm just going to
name
them in
fine.
Order.
That's fine.
Pilot,
yes.
Odyssey,
yes.
The Undertaking, Darkness on the Edge of Town, and Sacrifice were my favorite.
Oh, I think you might have just mentioned mine.
Well,
I know.
There's so many good ones in there. It's hard to pick just five. So, yeah.
Yeah. How about what's your first favorite 23 episodes?
Name all.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Name your favorite 23 episodes. All right. Enough of my lame jokes. Let's go to you, Matt from Florida. Give us your favorite five Arrow episodes from season one.
Let's see. Pilot, Year's End, Betrayal.
Year's End was good.
The Undertaking, Darkness on the Edge of the Town. Because I mean, there's so many in there. I love the finale, but we just talked about the finale. But Darkness on the Edge of Town, and I love that moment in Betrayal where that's my famous intro now in the Arrow Talk podcast. You have failed this city.
Yes, that last part, of course. I love that. Yep. I love that. And I love how she says it in the finale, I have failed this city. Seriously, that should be on a shirt. You know what? I might make a shirt. I might make like an Arrow Talk shirt and have that.
That's cool.
Not I, but you have failed this city. All right.
I was gonna say you don't wear a shirt this city.
I know. You don't want to say I have failed this city.
Yeah.
People are like, dude, don't be so down on your luck, man. You even bought a shirt that says that. All right, let me read Regina's top five before we go to Lauren. Let's see, her top five is Pilot, Vendetta, Year's End, Trust But Verify, and Sacrifice. She says it's not an easy decision, so just in case, I can't call in tonight. All right, so that's her favorite five. Some people are asking, whoever does the film score for Arrow is amazing, and are we gaining a soundtrack? A lot of people have been wanted the score, which, if you recall, sometimes they don't do that for TV shows.
Yeah.
But if it gets enough popular demand, they will produce a score. But a lot of times they do offer the regular published lyrics. You know, the music with lyrics, you know, the popular pop songs that are playing. And if you recall, at the end of every episode, they tell you where you could go download the music that you just heard. But we don't want that. We want the score. Because I think it's a pretty kick-ass score, yes.
I love it. I love the opening theme and the ending theme.
Yeah. So,
hey, I have a question.
Okay.
The guy that composed the score for this TV series, is it the same guy that did the scores for Smallville?
I doubt it, because it's not the same Bill.
It's Blake Neely. I think he's done like Everwood and stuff. That he's worked with like Greg Berlanti a lot, I think.
So. Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, definitely a different tone. Because if you recall Smallville, it was always like...
Yeah,
I mean not that close to the series, but definitely not the same. The cues were a little different than this season of Arrow. All right, Lauren, are you ready? We're coming to you. What was your favorite top five? Okay, ready.
Okay, my number one is the Odyssey. I mean, I don't know. It's just like the perfect hour, the whole series, and I like that it was like the flat majority of it was flashback, and then like minor of it was like present, and
Is that the one where Felicity found out his
secret? That's where Felicity found that. Like, she started helping Diggle, you know.
Just in case people don't remember that, but yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, and the friendship of Slade and Oliver, sort of like some levity to it. And I think my second one was probably the pilot, just because it just the action
established,
and David Nutter did a great job directing it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, the third, I think third one, maybe like Damaged or something. Just because I like the fight scene between Yaofei and Billy Wintergreen or Deathstroke.
That was cool, yeah.
Yeah, and oh my God.
And drum roll,
how many
please.
More do I have?
Matt, give us a drum roll. This is the fifth one.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Matt,
give
us a drum roll. Where's Matt? Oh, I think Matt left us.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he did. He left us. Oh. All right. See, he didn't agree with you, Lauren. He's like, you know what? Forget this. I'm kidding.
And I think maybe year's end, I liked, because we got, you know, even though I like that Oliver got his butt kicked, but, you know, it shows that he's still human and not, like, super powered or anything. Yeah. But I just like the brutal fight between him and Malcolm, so, Darth Archer.
Yes, and I love how Malcolm reminded Oliver how, what was the line where he says, I always, it was kind of like he was saying, like, I always, like, beat you down because you're always looking, because he's not focused on what he's fighting for, but he is, but the Dark Archer is because he knows what he wants. Oh, I forgot the line.
Yeah.
I'm totally butchering it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lauren, for giving us your favorite top five, and let me give you mine if you guys are interested. It would be the pilot and the Lone Gunman, which is the first appearance of Deadshot, and also Year's End. No, wait, not Year's End. Yes, Vendetta, which is the first appearance of Helena Bertinelli. And that's what, two or three?
Three.
Yeah, I said Lone Gunman. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Huntress Returns. I don't know why. I guess I'm the only one. I'm serious. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm going to add that to write to my list.
Yeah. And then, of course, Sacrifice would be my fifth one because it was definitely a good season finale. I mean, what a way to end the show. And make us want more and wait and wait and wait for months to come. Let's see. Paulina says mine are, let's see, Paulina's favorite five is The Odyssey, Dead to Rights, Home Invasion, Darkness, On the Edge of Town, and Sacrifice. All right, so it all seems a little close together in the episodes that we have chosen. Let's see. Oh, geez, it's going to be really hard to wait these couple months as they gear up later in the summer to start filming
again in July. So.
Yeah, it's usually like in the midsummer they'll go back to Vancouver, and it looks like now they'll have new sets now that the glades are flattened. They're going to have really fresh painted sets as the city is rebuilding, which is kind of funny because, you know, if you guys recall, if you guys were watchers of Smallville, when they were in the city, it reminded me a lot of Metropolis, if I'm putting up my quotation fingers, Metropolis, because it's identical to the same set that they use. I mean, I know for a fact that they're using the same sound stages that they shot Smallville, and if you guys have Googled where they're at, it's really like in a industrial area. It's not even like a big Hollywood location. It's like snuggled in into a industrial area where they shoot the majority of their interiors, and of course when they go to exteriors they go to the city. And
yeah,
I was really fortunate to go down there when Smallville ended. I went to the wrap party and I was able to check out the sets, and it was funny just walking down the street in Vancouver. My friend goes, "Hey, I wonder what that building is." And I look up, I'm like, "Oh, that's Daily Planet. Oh my gosh."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. and of course LexCorp as well. So that was kind of cool. And now watching Arrow, you could tell a lot of those locations are used twice. And I'm so glad they have not plucked in the Watchtower, because that would be really awkward if they show the Watchtower.
Jimmy looking out of the top.
Which, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Vancouver. That tower exists. So if you ever go to Vancouver, just ask anyone, random person, I'm sure they'll know, where's the Watchtower? And it's like down by the, it was down by the shore. It was really cool. I walked down there and it was like taking pictures like a madman, and people were looking at me like, "What are you doing?" But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So Vancouver is definitely the new Hollywood for CW. All right, so let's see. I think we're almost going to wrap this up. We had a great conversation continuing from last night's podcast. So if you haven't listened to part one, it's already up on greenarrowtalk.com or on iTunes or on blogtalkradio.com/arrowtalk. Part one is already up for your listening pleasure. And also, thank you for listening to part two. Lauren, tell how people could get a hold of you and find out. Oh, wait, someone's calling in. Let's see. I'm sorry. Let's see. From area code 214, is this you, Matt?
Hey, Matt? It's me, Chris.
Oh, it's Chris. Hey, Chris. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast as we are about to end
it. The end of it, yeah.
Hey, Chris, really quick, Chris, before we wrap it up, what were your favorite five episodes from season one?
Man, Verify.
Verify?
Finale,
okay.
The House of Breaking, the Breaking, whatever.
That's three?
And the Pilot.
Pilot, four. Okay, one more.
And the one Oliver find out about his mother. I don't remember the name.
Oh, it was the Darkness at the Edge of Town? Was that
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I love him.
Yes. All right, and did you like the finale, Sacrifice?
Yeah, it did.
All right, great.
It looked awesome. Yeah, it reminded me of some of them, you know, whenever they were like, you know, at the end of it.
I'm sure we'll keep saying that next season. It was a great pleasure. We had a great run this season. Hopefully you guys will join us next season for Arrow Season 2, and we will be doing another podcast for Arrow Season 2. We're just going to take a little break in the summer. Hopefully back we'll start building up again in July. We'll do like a season one recap of each week. We'll talk about the new what we've read online, what rumors are coming up, and also we'll each week we'll recap each episode starting from pilot again. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to take a break up until July and then start up again. So thank you guys so much for downloading. And thank you for calling in. And let's see, Lauren, again, how can people get a hold of you for this summer?
Sure, they can get a hold of me on Twitter. My handle is LaurenTVEA. And hopefully I'll be still, you know, you can watch out for news for Arrow and the other show I cover, The Americans, on there. And I might be doing a rewind of some other show, too, during the hiatus or summer. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. I know, right? As the news slows down for the summer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lauren. Always a pleasure having you on the podcast. Hopefully we could talk again on season two.
Hopefully. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, of course. Joe from Krypton, tell the people how, you know, you already have a, who was it that tweeted you? Jeff Loeb?
I don't remember who you're talking about.
All right, give us a shout-out, Joe. Sorry for interrupting.
I would just like to say I can't wait till October for Season 2, and if the Arrow writers are listening, I really hope you guys bring on, superpowers in the next season. And also, you can find me on Twitter at RedBlueSuperDude.
All right. Definitely the Super Dude has a super following. Chris, tell people how they could reach you.
Oh, I am on Twitter as SuperSteel, and come with me there. I love Arrow, and if you haven't watched it, you need to go back and watch that wrestling of it.
Of course. Yes, thank you, Chris, for calling in, even though it was at the end of the show, but thank you.
Yeah.
All right, and thank you, Pauline, for calling in. Also, Mary Beth, sorry you got a speeding ticket, and also... Matt from Florida, thank you for calling in, and have a good night. We'll talk to you in July. Bye, guys.
Awesome. Good night, guys.
Bye.
Good night.